Live from Hollywood, California, it's The Rick Savage Show.
What's up? It's Rick Savage Show. I'm your host, Rick Savage. Recording a little earlier than normal this evening. Changing it up. Usually I'm an 11 p.m. type of guy. Right now I'm like an 8:30, 9 o'clock type of guy. We'll see how it goes. Maybe the energy will be different. Maybe I'll be more excited. I don't know. We've got some drama that we need to get to very quickly. Drama, it's a conspiracy, something's going on. I haven't quite uncovered it all yet, but would you be surprised that it involves DJ Khaled? This is going to be the third episode in a row where I talk about this stupid song that I'm in love with, and I'm getting to it quickly off the top so we can just get it out of the way and keep it moving. But of course, I was listening to No Brainer by DJ Khaled and Chance the Rapper. If you remember in the last episode, or if you saw on my Instagram post, Chance the Rapper has this line about keeping it Ben Franklin, which means keeping it 100, which means keeping it real. Cool. Great. No problem. So I was like, oh, you know what? What I'll do is I'll talk about that on the podcast, and then I'll talk about it on Instagram, and I'll drop in a clip of the song through the Instagram feature where you can add songs to your story, and then it'll be hilarious, and then people will want to listen to my podcast. Well, the edited version of the song is what comes up in Instagram. And I'm going to play you the edited version of No Brainer. Listen for my favorite line by Chance the Rapper and tell me what you hear. But we in it. I'm not no lame. And I keep it Franklin. I'm not going to change. What? Okay. Remember, the line is, I keep it Ben Franklin. I'm not going to change. Not gun change. G-O-N is how they spell that word. Let's try one more time. But we in it. I'm not no lame. And I keep it Franklin. I'm not going to change. They edit out Ben as if Ben is a curse word. Why are they doing this to me? I had all of these stupid Instagram posts planned, and the punchline was going to be that part over and over and over, and then it was just, Franklin. Why do they edit Ben Franklin's name as if that's a curse word? These are the things that keep me up at night. There's some force out there that doesn't want me to thoroughly enjoy Chance the Rapper at all times. I'm going to do some research. I'm going to send some emails. We're going to find out why Ben Franklin is censored. Did they need to clear it with the estate? Did they think Ben Franklin's great, 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 great grandson would drop a lawsuit? I don't think so. When this all popped up, it reminded me of all these other music conspiracies. By the way, I like that I'm just going with the fact that I think that that's a conspiracy that they edited Ben Franklin, but there's no shortage of music conspiracies. I don't know if I buy into any of them, but some of them are hilarious. The Andrew WK one is probably the biggest. The theory is that Andrew WK has been played by several actors. He's not one person. He was created by a group of dudes. They cast the first guy. He died or got burnt out or something, and then they brought in a second guy and a third guy. And there's all these crazy theories about who the real Andrew WK was and how he came to be, and somehow Dave Grohl is involved, like the mastermind behind this, or he wrote all the music under an alias. Like, it's insane. And then that led me to the Avril Lavigne conspiracy, that Avril Lavigne died and was replaced by a lookalike. And then, of course, there's the classics that Elvis is still alive or Jim Morrison is still alive. Remember, Paul McCartney was dead? I mean, that was before most of us were born, but that was a rumor too. And then I just found this one I'd never heard before. Rivers Cuomo is Kurt Cobain in disguise. Here's the deal with these music conspiracies. See, to pull this off, you have to be smart. And I'm not saying the people in the music industry are dumb. I'm just saying that the level of sophistication that would be needed to pull off some of these conspiracies and keep them hidden for years and years and years, that's not really the skill set that the executives at music companies come with. They come with the street smarts. They come with the connections. They come, the A&R guys know how to talk a good game. 20-year-long conspiracies. A fake Avril Lavigne? Tough. If someone can hook me up with Avril Lavigne, I could find out if she's the same Avril Lavigne from 2001. Her first ever radio interview was at a radio station I used to work at. I used to work at a rock station, a small little rock station in San Diego. Avril Lavigne was being driven down by her record label to do kind of like a promo tour to visit all the pop stations. It was before the song Complicated came out, or maybe it was just coming out, but it wasn't a hit yet. So they were taking her down to all the like pop stations in San Diego. Our radio station was in North County. So it was kind of the first radio station you would hit as you were coming down. The person from the record label was really good friends with my boss. So they decided to like swing her by this rock station. She came in and she was really sweet and they played this Complicated song. And my boss was like, well, let's just put her on the air and see what happens. And so her first ever interview was with another DJ at the station. And then our owner at the time had a bunch of old classic cars in the back of the, like the studio, the building was like half radio station and half museum for his classic cars. And so we went back there and she took a bunch of photos in these cars. So if I could get time with Avril and just very casually be like, hey, I don't even know if you'd remember this, but you know, in 2001, 2002, we were in San Diego and there was all these cars at this radio station. She would absolutely remember that. And if she didn't, it's not really her. I think a lot of conspiracies that pop up around the music industry, like what do they call record label plants, like, oh, these guys got together and decided this person was going to be a star and they crafted them. You know, I don't think it works like that. I know that people get lucky and sometimes people get pushed through the power of their record label or supporters. But this idea that there's some conspiracy or this person was put there, I mean, Lady Gaga is the best example. Like, she'd been signed and dropped by all these different record labels. She was not supposed to be a huge star and then became a huge star. And then it was like, oh, she's an industry plant. Bro, you're giving too much credit and too much respect to these powerful people in the music industry. I remember there's another theory, or there's a conspiracy going around that in the late 80s, all the presidents of the record labels got together with the government and decided to make gangster rap popular so black kids across the country would think it was cool, join gangs, shoot each other, and go to jail. And there was like supposedly a whole private prison system involvement encouraging record labels to sign rappers. Guys, too much free time on the internet. Now, who really shot Tupac and Biggie? That's a conspiracy I can get behind. Why the cases are unsolved? That's a conspiracy I can get behind. But record labels signing rappers to get black kids to impersonate the rappers and then go to prison? Look, I'm a fan of conspiracy theories, but I'm not going to go with you on that one. Wow, we got into that real quick, didn't we? Went from a Ben Franklin lyric and a DJ Khaled song all the way to the prison industrial complex and the record labels. Let's bring it back. Another update from last week, I did go ahead and purchase Madden 19 since they announced that they'll be updating the lyrics and not censoring Colin Kaepernick's name. I figured, okay, we can keep it going. I've bought it every year since, I don't know, 94 or something. I didn't want to break the streak. Now, I haven't played it yet, but I set up the PS4. I'm looking at the box right now. There's a Pittsburgh Steeler on the cover, and I don't even know who he is, but I'm excited to play the game. I also want to get one of those video game chairs. I'm sitting in a chair right now recording this. It's not so comfy. After about 2 hours or so, I start to, you know, your back starts to hurt a little bit, getting old. But every time I bring this up to a friend, I'm like, hey, I want to get one of those video game chairs that are kind of form-fitting. They always think of the scene in 40-Year-Old Virgin where Steve Carell's playing the video games and he's got the speakers around his head on the chair and stuff. I'm not going to that extreme. I just want like a comfy chair that isn't... Oh, did you hear my back pop right there? Oh, God. That's not good. I haven't worked out yet today either. That's part of the other problem. I had the dilemma of, do I want to do the podcast or do I want to row? I've been rowing. The gym in our building has one of those row machines. And I do like a half an hour. I'm trying to hit 5,000 meters. I've come close. I've hit 4,800. Tonight after the podcast, I'm going to go down and try to get that 5,000. And I think that's a good way to start the week. Oh my God, my back just popped again, seriously. Oh, did you hear that? Got a new eBay purchase this week. Yo, late night eBaying is very dangerous. Somehow I stumbled into this world of Las Vegas collectibles on eBay. I don't need any of this shit. there's no, I'm not decorating a game room and I need Vegas themed crap, but evidently the ashtray collectible scene is a big scene. I didn't know that. People collect ashtrays. I guess it makes sense. So I found one from the Las Vegas Club, which is no longer there. I think they tore it down a couple years ago. I picked it up for $7, an ashtray from the Las Vegas Club. It was the first place I ever played poker in Las Vegas. This was before the World Series of Poker kind of exploded and Chris Moneymaker won and Rounders became this cult classic. So right around there, it was hard to find a poker game in Vegas. Well, it was easy to find a poker game in Vegas if you had thousands of dollars. Like the Bellagio and all these casinos have always had poker rooms and poker games. But to have like a low limit game was hard to find. It just wasn't practical for casinos to have low limit poker tables. They took up too much space, where you'd have a 2-4 poker table and nine guys playing for hours. Just put some slot machines and you'd make thousands of dollars. So I get it. I understand. So Las Vegas Club was one of these places that had like a 1-3 and a 2-4 and a 3-6. And that, I don't know how we found out. I think this was maybe in the back of like Poker Player or Card Player magazine. They would list like what games were going at what casinos. Anyways, so I go to the Las Vegas Club. I have $300 cash. I play for, I don't know, maybe 3 or 4 hours. I lose my money. I'm walking out of the casino, and next to a trash can in the middle of the casino floor is a briefcase. And there's a couple people in the world that know this story. And I don't remember if it was my idea or my buddy was like, we should get that. For the purposes of this story, I'm going to say it was my idea. I'm going to say I was the one that was like, we should pick up that briefcase. Because that's like in the movies, they drop a briefcase next to a trash can and then some other guy comes and picks it up and it's got like $100,000 in it. So I was like, oh, I got to do it. So I walk over and pick up the briefcase and there's definitely stuff in there. Like I kind of shake it and I hear like kind of like clunking around. And this was before bombs, terrorist attacks. Not really, but it certainly wasn't the first thought in 2000 or 99 that there might be a bomb in this briefcase. I just thought, hey, maybe there's money in here. Maybe this is a drug dealer's drop and we're sneaking in and grabbing the money. Pick up the briefcase. And then I figure, well, we'll just head to the exit. And if someone stops us, we'll deal with it. Walk out of the casino. And no one says anything, obviously. And I have no money. I just lost all of the money playing at the Las Vegas Club, which is in downtown Las Vegas. We were staying at the Sahara Hotel, another hotel gone. We were staying at the Sahara Hotel back on the Strip. So I had to walk from downtown Las Vegas all the way back to the Strip. There's a few of you kind of grimacing right now. If you don't know that walk or drive is what it should be, it's probably 2 miles. It's not the best part of Las Vegas. It's where people die. But I was a kid. I didn't know any better. I was on a mission. I had a briefcase. So I just started walking. I walk all the way from downtown Las Vegas to the Sahara, get up to our room, go into the bathroom. Oh, by the way, another like kid thing that adults you don't have to do anymore. I think there was like 8 people piled into our bedroom, just like sleeping on the floor, like the whole thing. Go into the bathroom, open the briefcase, and spoiler to get out of the way, no money, obviously. But there were 3 items. One was an NRA pamphlet, weird. 2, 1 shoe. 1 single black, like kind of dress shoe styled shoe. And then 3 was a can of pepper spray. I think you could say we struck out, right? Really hoping for something at least exciting, but ended up with some free pepper spray. I had never used pepper spray before. So of course the smart thing to do while all your friends are asleep at 4 in the morning is to spray some pepper spray in the hotel room and see what happens. If you ever want to make all your friends think that they're dying, spray some pepper spray in a small hotel room while they're all asleep. It was like it was like firecrackers. Like they all started coughing like, and then everyone's coughing and what the fuck is this? And they run out into the hallway and we open the windows and the doors and everything. And I was like, sorry, guys, I don't know. I just sprayed some pepper spray and didn't realize. I don't know what I thought. Did I think it was like air freshener? It's pepper spray. But it was like law enforcement quality pepper spray. It was intense. So cleaned out the room. People were very upset. The one thing that did come of this is later on, I gave the pepper spray to my mom. So she always had pepper spray in her car when she was driving around, just in case things got hairy. She was strapped with that serious A-grade pepper spray. Yeah, don't spray pepper spray in a hotel room while a bunch of your friends are asleep on the floor. It's not a good look. I missed a very important anniversary a few days ago. I feel like we should acknowledge it now. This would be my 5-year anniversary, August 2nd, 2013, from when Anna Kendrick and I had a conversation on Twitter. It was a big moment. I thought it was going to lead to a friendship, maybe more. It didn't. I tweeted on August 2nd, 2013, still not sure why I like celebrity photos on Instagram. And then in quotations, as if I'm saying this aloud, can't wait until Anna Kendrick sees that I liked her photo of her old car. So just threw it out there. Silly little tweet. Anna responds, thanks for the like, Rick. And then in parentheses, I see everything. Oh, shit. And then I responded with something back, and then she didn't respond, and then that was the end of the back and forth. But that was 5 years ago, a couple weeks ago, me and Anna. I remember that spurred a conversation with a buddy of mine on how realistic it would be for me and Anna Kendrick to date. And this was before I had a lovely girlfriend. This is when I was a single man. I think we would have got along. I think the issue, I might have talked about this before, but I think the only issue was that my apartment would have been much smaller than hers. I think that would have been a little tough for her to get used to. You know, like I was living in a 1-bedroom apartment. It was by the beach. It had an ocean view. It was, you know, it was not nice. It was small and old, but it was a great location. So that might help if she wanted to go to the beach. We had famous neighbors. I had a couple, Punky Brewster lived down the street from me. That was cool. Pink was over there too. So, you know, there would have been some famous people in the community. Oh, did I ever tell the story about the couple from True Blood that lived behind me in Venice? These motherfuckers. Anna Paquin and Stephen Moyer? I don't know. I didn't watch the show. I don't want to say they're everything that's wrong with Venice. I think that award probably goes to Snapchat. But they're probably second or third. So I lived in an old apartment in Venice, but it was right on the water. That's how I could afford a place on the water. It was an old building, right? And then around us, there was a couple nice homes and then another few older apartment buildings that were like, I had lived there for 7 years or so. There were people that had lived in these buildings for like 15, 20 years, like that, like old school Venice people, right? So right behind me was an apartment building that had maybe like 10 units. And then next to that was a pretty decent size house. And then one day, all the tenants of this apartment building started moving out. Evidently, the property was purchased. So this would have been about 2010. And then they tear down this apartment building and they start building a ginormous home. And they were building it to attach it to the already existing ginormous home. So they were building this like pretty large McMansion in between all these older buildings in Venice, a block from the water, which is fine. I'm not getting into the gentrification argument or anything. It was just, you know, okay, so now they're going to be under construction for a year. Bro, this went on until I moved out. This went on for 6 years, I would say. I don't want to get into the finances of cast members of True Blood. I know they're both working actors. Clearly, they ran out of money. Wow, I'm really talking out of school here, but whatever. Like Anna Paquin's ever going to hear this. Clearly, they would run out of money, stop construction, and then start it up again when someone booked a commercial in Japan or something. The thing that sucked is the construction would start between 7 and 8 a.m. every morning. And I know that's not 4 a.m., but that's early for a guy like me. I usually sleep a little later than that. I'm up late. I sleep late. Also, it's Venice. So everyone, you know, there's a bunch of artists. There's a bunch of people that don't have day jobs. So, you know, 7, 8 a.m. construction, not so great. Trucks coming in and the beeping and the honking and the loading, all that stuff. And then even, this was even worse. When they would slow down construction, again, because I think they ran out of money, they would have like one guy go at 7 a.m. and it would just sound like one hammer just like pounding on a 2x4 for hours. And I got to the point where I was like, I don't know what to do here. And we just heard through the community that it was the True Blood couple. I didn't even know if it was true until I tweeted at them and then they responded. I tweeted at Stephen Moyer and I was like, hey man, any update on construction? Been going on for quite some time, you know, concerned neighbor or something. And then he responded, he's like, yeah, we're working on it, sorry. And then a year would go by and I'd tweet him again. I think the last one was like, hey man, it sounds like one guy over there has a hammer every morning. Do you need some help? And then he responded, no, we're getting closer. We're getting closer. Almost done. And then I moved out and it was still under construction. In fact, I drove by there a couple weeks ago and they were still working on the pool outside. So just because you got that True Blood money, those DVDs, those Blu-rays aren't moving like they used to. I'm real happy about the Savage of the Week this week. Just really, it's a good one.
What a fucking savage!
I'm a savage.
Walking with a savage.
I'm a savage.
Savage weather calling savage.
They like savage, why you got a 12-car garage and you only got 6 cars?
Something about you turns me to a savage.
It's always a good one, but this might take the cake. I'm not a big karaoke kind of guy. I'm not a fan. I think I've done it once or twice in my life. Actually, I've always told people that I've never done it. It's technically a lie. I did it once. I was handed a microphone, and a Green Day song was thrown up on the screen. I had no choice in the song selection. I did not want to do it. I know I'm tone deaf. Very rarely at karaoke do people like cringe, you know, and they weren't laughing with me. You know, they were definitely laughing at me. It was not good. So I have not returned to karaoke since then. I think if I ever have to, I'll just do a rap song because we have established that I cannot sing. But this woman, our Savage of the Week, she takes her karaoke seriously. It sounds like she might even be like a karaoke host, like a karaoke DJ, a KDJ, if they call them that. This woman, I'm going to describe her because it's a video, just to paint the picture, because it's a surprising song selection from this woman. She looks kind of like a grandma, you know what I mean? Like she's probably high 60s, got some gray hair, kind of a, you know, maybe a little bigger of a woman, but just not the demo that you would expect to do this.
This is my second time exclusive here at Goddard Park at the Cool Cat Karaoke.
Cool Cat
Mrs.
Karaoke.
Mrs. Funky Wright's sister is in the park!
Hold on. Cool Cat Karaoke and then something sister is in the park?
Exclusive here at Goddard Park at the Cool Cat Karaoke. Mrs. Funky Wright's sister is in the park!
Mrs. Funky White Sista is in the park.
Is it worth it? Let me work it. I put my thing now, flip it and reverse it. He's your baby with his wind yip. He's your baby with his wind yip. If you got a big let me search you. Find out how hard I gotta work you. He's your baby with his wind yip. He's your baby with his wind yip. I like to get to know you, so I can show you. Put the pussy up. Like I told you. Give me all your numbers so I can phone you. You barrel act stinks, then call me over.
I mean, this song gets pretty explicit, so I want to be selective in the parts I'm going to play. But there's one other part that she nails.
If you're a fly girl, get your nails done. Get a pedicure. Get your hair did. Boy, lift it up. Let's make a toaster. Let's get drunk. It's going to bring us closer. Don't I look like a Halle Berry poster? See the Belvedere playing tricks on ya. Girlfriend wanna be like me? Never. You won't find a bitch even better. I make the hottest Las Vegas weather. Listen up close while I take it backwards. Each art each ta ta ta. I'm not a prostitute. But
she does the backwards part. That's great. That's like the hardest part to do.
Oh, braids and your mouth full of pumps. Love the way my ass go bump 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 bump. Keep your eyes on my bump 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 bump. You think you can handle this? Don't go, go.
There you go. How could you even want to do karaoke after that? If you were in that park, what song could you possibly do that keeps up with that?
What a fucking savage!
That's a good Savage of the Week right there. Shout out to Tiger Woods. He almost came back today. That would have been very exciting. He was wearing the red and black, too. Oh, if he would have won with the red shirt and the black cap, Nike would have very much appreciated that little bonus. I had my Ron Swanson gift ready to go. You know, the Ron Swanson, remember Parks and Rec, when after he would have relations with a lady, he'd dress like Tiger Woods the next day. He'd wear the red shirt. I had the gift ready to go. Tiger just couldn't pull it out. I really think I'm becoming an old man because I enjoy just watching golf on a Sunday afternoon. I never really understood that when my old man would watch golf. Now I totally get it. You just want to sit there. It's relaxing. It's quiet. It's like ASMR for adults. Just Sunday afternoon golf. Oh, Tiger, you almost got us. All right, it's kind of a quick podcast this week. You know what I mean? Like, I'm recording early. You're going to get the podcast early. You'll start your Monday off great. Maybe you're listening to it later in the week. Either way, I think we should just end with Missy. The song's probably stuck in your head from our amazing Savage of the Week karaoke performance, so we might as well just play the original. And this will just make you appreciate that performance even more. She did the whole beatboxing and everything. Anyways. All right. Hey, leave a rating or a review. That would make me feel really nice. And come find me on Twitter or Instagram. And we could talk and be friends. I don't know. Okay. Missy Elliott. Have a good week. Okay. See you later. Bye. Come on. Is it worth it? Let me work it. I put my thing down. Flip it and reverse it. Call me over, not on the bed, lay me on your sofa. Call before you come, I need to shave my cha-cha. You do what you don't, or you will, I won't cha. Go downtown and eat it like a vulture. See my hips, big hips, so cha. See my butt and my lips, don't cha. Lost a few pounds in my waist, oh yeah. This the kind of beat that go ba-ta-ta. Ba-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta-ta. Sex me so good, I say blah, blah, blah. Work it, I need a glass of water. Boy, oh boy, it's good to know ya. Is it worth it? Let me work it. I put my thing down, flip it and reverse it. It's your permit if it's wet yet. It's your permit if it's wet yet. If you got a big, let me search it. To find out how hard I gotta work yet. It's your permit if it's wet yet. It's your permit if it's wet yet. If you're a fly gal, get your nails done. Get a pedicure, get your hair did. Boy, lift it up, let's make a toaster. Let's get drunk, it's gonna bring us closer. Don't I look like a Halle Berry poster? See the Belvedere playing tricks on ya. Girlfriend wanna be like me, never. You won't find a trick that's even better. I make you hot as Las Vegas weather. Listen up close while I take it backwards. Okay, begins the gal that's in me with you. I'm not a prostitute, but I can give you what you want. I love your braids and your mouth full of phones. You love the way my butt boom, 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 boom. Keep your eyes on my boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom. You think you can handle this, ka-donk-a-donk-donk. Take my thumb off and my tail go boom. Cut the lights on so you see what I can do. Is it worth it? Let me work it. I put my thing down, flip it and reverse it. It's your permit if it's wetting yet. It's your permit if it's wetting yet. If you got a big, let me search it. To find out how hard I gotta work yet. It's your permit if it's wetting yet. It's your permit if it's wetting yet. Boys, boys, all type of boys. White, Puerto Rican, Chinese boys. White, thang, 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 thang. Black, thang, 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 thang. Girls, girls, get that cash. If it's 9 to 5, we're shaking your ass. Ain't no shame, ladies, do your thing. Just make sure you ahead of the game.
This is the Rick Savage Show.
Right now, the Home Depot makes replacing your old carpet easy. With more styles and colors to choose from, there's no better time to buy. With free installation on any carpet purchase of $499 or more, all by licensed local pros. Backed for life, today is the day for doing and saving with free carpet installation only at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. For a limited time, $499 minimum purchase required, typically $699. For license information, visit homedepot.com/license numbers. Valid through November 6, 2019.